Well, on a hot Sunday afternoon in Georgia, a drunk stumbled along and came upon a baptismal service on a Sunday afternoon down by the river. And he proceeded to wind his way cautiously on down into the water, past all of the congregation, until he was standing puzzled right next to the minister, waist deep in the water, watching this man dunk people being baptized. And the pastor looked at the old drunk man and said, "Mister, are you ready to find Jesus?" And the drunk looked back and said, "Yes, preacher, I sure am." And then the minister took him and shoved him under the water and pulled him right back out and shouted at him, "Have you found Jesus?" And the drunk said, "No, I haven't." The preacher looked at him quizzically and threw him back down under the water a little bit longer this time and brought him up and said, "Mister, have you found Jesus?" "No, I have not, brother." Now the preacher, disgusted, held the man under for about 30 seconds this time and pulled him back up again with water streaming down in his eyes and nose and his ears, his mouth. And the preacher shouted at him, "My God, man, haven't you found Jesus yet?" And his response was, "Well, are you sure this is where he fell in?" As we draw to the end of the Trinity season, we should consider again this morning how God has called us all to bring forth the fruit of good works. But all of our efforts would not be worth anything if it were not for the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by man came death, by man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ." It is only because of Jesus' life-giving death and coming up from the grave that any of us are able to bring forth to God the sacrifices of good lives and have hope in eternity with Him. And so it is appropriate in this season of the harvest, when our farmers in our community bring in their crops from the fields and we praise God for the bounty of our land, that we here today at All Saints celebrate the sacrament of baptism and we bring to the font these two children, Liam Stewart and Brittany Cox. But why do we baptize? It is a sacrament of the church, often called one of the holy mysteries, and for many people it is just that, a mystery. What is all this business with pouring water and washing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and handing away of candles and making signs of the crosses? And what is the point anyway to go to all of that trouble to perform this on a young child or even a newborn infant? All they can tell is that they're getting wet and end up crying and making a fuss. And that's okay. That's not a criticism. It's what they do. But what in the world is the church up to when it insists that all who enter the Christian faith must be baptized? Perhaps it will help if we begin with a definition. A sacrament, the Catechism tells us, is an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace ordained by Christ. What is the outward sign of baptism? The outward sign of baptism is washing with water. Now, everyone here would agree that each one of us in our own time need a bath. Sometimes. Some more than others, I'm sure. After traveling overseas, as though I have, I believe that Americans, among all people, are obsessed with cleanliness. There are few things that we as Americans look down on more than B.O., bad hygiene. And they say, of course, that cleanliness is next to godliness. And what does a good bathing cure? What condition does it rectify or change? A nice long hot bath gets the dirt and sweat and care of the day off of your body. It makes you clean. It gets rid of the grime. You aren't dirty anymore. That's the point of bathing. You once were filthy, and now you're not. So here in the sacrament of baptism, we have water, and we wash with it. But it's no ordinary bath that we celebrate in the church. What would be the point? I trust that most of you had baths in your own home before you came to church this morning. And I expect that Liam and Brittany's mommies gave them a good scrubbing before their big day today. So what does the church expect from the waters of baptism? Baptism is the outward and visible sign that our sins on the inside are washed away. Sin, that rebellion against God, is the thing that makes all of us filthy, dirtier than you could possibly be after a million years of working in the yard. Because of Adam and Eve's sin in the garden when they disobeyed God, all humans have been dirty from the first day that they were born. And if we want to be God's children, we have to have a bath. We must have the sin, which is so repugnant to our Heavenly Father, washed away from our souls and our bodies. Now, that raises another interesting question. Jesus was baptized. Baptism is the sacrament signifying the washing away of sin, but Jesus didn't have any sin, so why was Jesus baptized? Luke gives us the answer in his gospel. He says, "Now when all of the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him," there it is in the window behind me, "in bodily form like a dove." Jesus was baptized with the people. People just like you and me were baptized with Jesus in the Jordan River. Jesus stepped down into the water not because he had sin that needed to be washed away, but because he had come all the way to us from heaven to save sinful human beings. To save sinful humanity, Jesus had to become a human man, to be like us in every way, yet without sin. He was born as a baby instead of arriving as a fully formed man. He was circumcised, being obedient to the law of God. He grew up among us, sharing all our joys, our loves, our sadness, and our suffering, even unto death. And the great Bishop Irenaeus says, "See how tender a Savior we have in Jesus Christ, that in every stage of our life he has been like us." Jesus went down into the water, you see, not to be purified, but by his holy body to purify the water, the instrument of our baptisms. He made water pure for our salvation. Because the Son of God was baptized in his body, we are baptized into his body. Since the Son of God identified with us in his baptism in the Jordan, we may now through water be identified with him as sons of God. In baptism, we are joined to Christ in his baptism and also joined to him in his death. Paul tells us in the book of Romans, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried there with him by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." Even as Jesus Christ had no need to be baptized, for he had no sin, he certainly did not need to die either. He was a perfect man and perfect God, yet he was baptized for us and sacrificed for us on the hard wood of the cross for the very same reason, for us. He was baptized so that we might be washed of our sins in the waters of baptism. He died on the cross that we might not die the eternal death of punishment in hell. In our baptisms, we join ourselves to him in his death so that we might join with him in his resurrection and finally in his glory, in the joys of heaven. There is another story. Maybe you'll like this one a little bit better than the first one I told you. Story about an infant being baptized at church. And after the baptism, after baptizing his baby brother in church, his older brother, Jason, cried all the way home in the back seat of the car. His parents were a little puzzled by that. It had been a successful baptism. You know, everybody was happy. And so his father asked Jason, "Why are you so sad? Why are you crying?" And Jason wouldn't answer. He just kept boo-hooing. And finally he said, "Son, why are you so upset?" And the boy said, "The preacher said he wanted us brought up in a Christian home, and I wanted to stay with you guys." Dear friends, baptism is not magic, and it's certainly not fire insurance. Just because a young child, or for that matter, a mature, reasonable, intelligent adult has water poured on them doesn't mean that they can live any way that they please. A man who has a decision for Christ goes to the baptismal font, is dunked or poured on, and then leaves the church that day and lives his life carelessly, following the lusts of the flesh and the temptations of the world, trusting that having water thrown upon him and some kind of magic incantation said over him will not escape eternal punishment. It is the Heavenly Father who calls to us. It is his Son, Jesus Christ, who is baptized for us and died for us in our place to take our guilt away. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that joins us, body and soul, to the salvation won for us at such a great price in Jesus. It is God who calls. It is God who saves. It is God who inspires and enlivens us. It is Almighty God's preemptive grace and mercy that we proclaim today in baptism, my friends. While we were yet sinners, while we were yet enemies of the cross, God infused us with his grace. He took up his place in our hearts. We were powerless to save ourselves, even as Liam and Brittany today could not have gotten out of their mother's arms and thrown themselves into the font. Instead, we lower them down into the water. We pour it over them, even as the Spirit of God, mighty to save, covers us in our baptisms. Our salvation, my friends, is a free gift. But we must get up out of that water. And we must follow Jesus. We must repent. We must believe. We must be converted, or our baptisms will do nothing but judge us before the great throne on the last day. All who are here today, do not be complacent. Do not rest comfortably on the assurance of your baptism certificate stuffed away in some closet or drawer or scrapbook someplace. Baptism is not a ceremony for nice people. Baptism is not a custom that good people keep out of some kind of cultural obligation. Baptism is for sinners who are tired of their sin. And would cling to the priceless grace and mercy offered freely to them in Jesus. Baptism is for those condemned to eternal judgment who would cling to the forgiveness won by the Son of God on the cross at Calvary. In other words, my friends, baptism is for you and all those who with hearty repentance and true faith turn unto Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.